October 1st meeting of the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission will come to order. Roll call, please.
Hauser?
Here.
Bass?
Here.
Marcel?
Here.
Weigel?
Here.
Becky, absent. Struthers, absent. Miller, absent.
Been provided with a tentative agenda for tonight's meeting. Are there any changes or additions to note? All in favor of the approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. The minutes are approved. You have been provided draft minutes from the last meeting. Are there any corrections?
Move approval of minutes.
There are no further corrections. The minutes stand approved as corrected. As mailed in the packet, sorry. Okay, now we're up to old business. Is there any old business? Seeing none, we'll move on to new business. Regarding case number... REZ03-12, The Oaks. Please present your report.
Hey, good evening. As you mentioned, this is case REZ0312. It's the Oaks official zoning map amendment request. The property owner being Oaks Development Group. Looking at the general property location, it's at the northeast. Are in the northeast quarter of Section 22 of Franklin Township, which is on the southwest corner of U.S. Highway 69 and West 190th Street, just north of Ames. Size of this parcel is approximately 43 acres. Current zoning, there are two current zoning districts in place on this property. A majority of it is currently A1 agricultural, which is a small portion still being zoned. I2 heavy industrial from the old rock quarry. That used to be in place where now Ada Hayden Park is. The land use framework map designation is designated on the Ames River Fringe Plan as rural residential with natural areas. Also has some gateway protection area and some watershed protection area. As the commission will recall, I think it was just a few months ago where we actually did officially change those designations, and that was kind of the first step in this process that we're getting into the second and third steps of tonight. So the current land use is currently being used as a golf course. It's classified as a commercial use, and the cities within 2 miles are both Ames and Gilbert. You got a vicinity map here on the screen above. The property we're looking at is kind of this blue area right here. This is Ada Hayden Park, West 190th Street right here, and Highway 69 right there. We did go over the land use framework map designation, so I would quote that the proposed zoning map designation that we're looking at in the official zoning map amendment request is changing it from both the A1 and the I2 to the AR, agricultural residential. The plan here eventually is to convert the Oaks Golf Course into 4 new residential building lots with 1 existing residential lot where the current clubhouse is. The new lots on this property will be estate-type lots that will be 8 to 10 acres each in size. The existing building lot will be a little over 2 acres. There will be a new public street heading into the subdivision off West 190th Street. The subdivision will be served with electricity by 2 providers, both Alliant and Midland. Xenia Rural Water will provide water, and each lot will utilize an individual septic system. As I mentioned, the Ames River Fringe Plan was recently amended to change the designation on this property. It was previously Parks and Recreation, and now again is Rural Residential with some natural areas. Those natural areas actually on the property, they did shift from the southern portion, which served as a buffer of Ada Hayden Park, move that to the floodplain in the northeast corner of the property. And as we had mentioned, the property also remained located in the gateway protection area and the watershed protection area. the Ames Urban Fringe Plan Amendment was the first step to developing this parcel from a golf course into an estate-type subdivision. According to Section 15.2 of the Land Development Regulations, all petitions to rezone shall satisfy the following standards for such requested action to be approved. There are five standards. The first one being that the proposed rezoning shall conform to the Story County Development Plan. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan is a component of the Story County Development Plan. Looking at the designations on the map, the rural residential area has nine policies. I did outline that in your staff report, so hopefully I didn't list them on the screen here individually above because it would take forever to go through them all. But hopefully everybody had a good chance to read through those. The natural areas have three policies. The gateway protection area have two policies, and the watershed protection area have four policies. The second criteria is the proposed rezoning shall conform to the statement of intent for the proposed district and the district requirements. The agricultural residential district does state that it is designed to provide for low-density, single-family, detached dwellings with limited activities interrelated with agricultural uses. The third criteria is the proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses and development patterns. We did note that the proposed amendment area is located in an area that is one of Story County's more dense residential areas, that would be unincorporated Story County. The area is surrounded by Ada Hayden Park on its south and a portion of its west side. There is a mobile home park on a portion of its north side, and there are various residential subdivisions on its west and east sides. Looking at the numbers, within 1 mile of the proposed area, 60% of the land is used for agriculture, 19% for residential, 16 is tax exempt, that's all the ISU, church, and city and county owned properties, and 5% is for commercial. We state this all the time when it comes to these cases, but actually 60% for agriculture when you're looking at a 1 mile buffer of any property, that's actually really low. So you're just kind of showing how the closer you get to the city, the more non-agricultural uses that are taking place. This map right here, you probably can't see too well. The property here is the one that's in red, but you're kind of looking at the surrounding land uses. The orange are all the tax-exempt uses, so especially down here, this would be Ada Hayden Park. The yellow are all the residential uses, so you've got the Alta Vista Road subdivision over here, and a lot of the, I can't think of what's called right here, but all this residential subdivision over here. The red's commercial, the blue is industrial. And the ones that don't have color are considered agricultural uses. And this is the zoning map, kind of mirrors what we were just having here. You got the residential zoning district over here, right in here. This is the mobile home zoning district. The purple here is the city of Ames, actually. And this is what I mentioned previously, that small little portion that's zoned I-2 heavy industrial. You can see how small that is on this subject property right there. And then again, the rest is all A1 agriculture, the ones that don't have any color. The next criteria states that the proposed rezoning shall protect environmental resources, and further says that rezoning of parcels containing more than 50% of the gross acreage as lands designated as natural areas shall not be approved unless requested action results in a district designation more restrictive than the current designation or conditions protecting the identified areas are attached to the rezoning request. We did note that the amendment area does include some lands located in the special flood hazard areas as defined by FEMA. Those areas are designated as natural areas on the Ames River Fringe Plan and total 2.15 acres, a little over 5% of the total amendment area. When looking at the watershed protection area that is located on the Ames River Fringe Plan, that portion on this parcel does encompass approximately 22.27 acres, just a tad over 52% of the total amendment area. The last standard of approval states that in areas where the petition rezone requests a change from an A1 district to an A2 district or another district, land scoring 173 or above for the site assessment and 267 or above for the total land evaluation and site assessment score as determined by that process shall not be approved. You'll see that the least score that we did for this particular request showed that the SA was 63, so well above, or well below, I should say, that 173, and the total LISA score was 123, which again is well below that 267. So those numbers would not prohibit a rezoning. This map up here, kind of a topography map that we showed you during the first process here. This line right here is the watershed protection area. This area, the blue area up here, is the floodplain that's located on the property. So that kind of gives you an idea of just some of the natural areas located on the property. Going on, as a part of an ordinance authorizing an amendment, supplement, or change in a district, are from one district to another district, the Board of Supervisors may impose conditions on a property owner, hares, and assigns, which are in addition to existing regulations if the additional conditions have been agreed to in writing by the property owner before the required public hearing or the adjournment of the hearing regarding the third consideration of the application. As we had mentioned to you, the Board of Supervisors did approve an Ames Urban Fringe Plan Amendment to this area on July 31st, 2012. That was after a recommendation was handed down by the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was verbiage in that resolution that did state that the Board of Supervisors of Story County, Iowa, designate the floodplain and the proposed amendment area as natural areas and agree to take action to limit the subdivision of this area to no more than 5 development lots in a conditional rezoning agreement if and when a rezoning is approved. So ultimately, what we're trying to say there is that, when we do, if this rezoning is approved, that resolution does lead to a condition that does need to be made on this rezoning. One thing that I did add just today, this wasn't a part of the staff report, but going through that first criteria with the Story County Development Plan and all the policies in there, I just took a few out there that I thought maybe needed to be addressed. Not that they're not addressed, but again, can just be addressed probably through some conditions. But another condition could be to protect environmental resources, environmentally sensitive areas, and adjacent natural areas by mitigating and managing stormwater runoff, soil erosion, and wastewater discharge from rural residential land uses by accommodating and are providing best management practices within any development. Reading through the covenants that the applicant has proposed with the subdivision, I think a lot of that stuff's already built into here, but just to kind of further give some credibility to the Ames Urban Fringe Plan, that condition might be another one that you might want to examine. With that on the rezoning, the four conditions that were included in the staff report are listed on the screen above, and if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Have any questions for staff?
There's an existing clubhouse on the property, and I believe you said that clubhouse will continue to be used in the future. Is that a permitted conditional use in the AR district?
Well, and I think what the clubhouse is more or less going to be used as a rental place on that property. So what will have to happen there, I'm not sure. We'd have to look at the parcel file on this. My assumption would be that the golf course has been there long enough and that building's old enough that it probably existed prior to any zoning regulations in the county, so it probably wasn't a permit for it in the first place. But what we'd eventually need once the lots were established, if and when we get to that point, we'd need a change in use permit, more or less, changing the use from the clubhouse to a residential rental facility, however you want to label it.
So
but it would be considered
for the rezoning, there is no issue concerning that building?
No.
Okay, thank you.
Actually, the rezoning would probably bring it more into conformance than where it is right now.
Any other questions? Mr. Winkleblack, would you like to present your application?
Good evening, Chuck Winkleblack, 105 South 16th Street. I really don't have much to add. Just the clubhouse building currently is kind of in two. It's one building, but it has two uses. There's an apartment that sets to the north, and the south is what our pro shop clubhouse, whatever you want to call it, is our intention is to convert the south portion of that into to put a door in it, a garage door in it, so that it'll have an attached garage on the southern part. So there won't be a commercial use there, and the residential use has existed since the building was built. And so not a commercial rental. It'll be basically a two-bedroom apartment when the conversion takes place here over the next 30 days. Other than that, I really don't have. Charlie's done a good job of laying it out. We've discussed this a few times. So unless you have any other questions, I really don't have anything else to present.
Black.
Charlie, would you go back one slide to the two conditions that you had?
Right here.
Ah, right there, slide 14. The two conditions stated, do you have any concerns with either of those conditions?
No.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public which wish to address the commission regarding this application?
My name is Jim Weaver, 5904 Alta Vista Road. I guess the question is, you have proposed covenants at present. Would you read them, or are they available? We've got some here.
They're lengthy, so.
Well, let me cut to the chase. What does limited agricultural use mean in this zoning?
You're talking on the statement of intent, I believe, for
8, slide 8, right there, last line. Designed to provide for low-density single-family detached dwellings with limited activities interrelated with agricultural uses.
What it's getting to is more or less saying that the agricultural residential area is more suited for areas kind of more outside your scope of the more dense residential zoning districts that we have. As far as residential zoning districts go, this is the least dense one that we have, 1 acre minimum lot sizes. We have other zoning districts that require 25,000 square feet minimum lot sizes. I believe Alta Vista's got the R1 zoning that has that on it. So it's more or less stating that this district here is just, it's meant to kind of be interrelated with your agricultural uses. So not to be shocked if, you know, you wake up some morning and there's a combine going in your backyard sort of thing, so.
All right. Well, I would request that the commission proscribe horses, cows, llamas, roosters from the allowed uses on these properties, since my backyard backs up to this. And in the keeping with concerned about water quality, I mean, runoff from horses could be quite substantial. And we already have an odor problem in the neighborhood from the trailer park, which we're not thrilled with. But we'd like to not see more of that occurring.
There's a section in the covenants that are proposed, and it's labeled noxious activities, comma, livestock. What it states is that no noxious or offensive activity, noise, or odors shall be permitted on or to escape from any lot, nor shall anything be maintained or done thereon which is or may become an annoyance or nuisance either temporarily or permanently. No animal, livestock, pig, or poultry of any kind shall be raised, bred, or kept on any lot except that dogs, cats, and other small commonly accepted domestic pets may be kept so long as they are not kept, bred, or maintained for commercial purposes or sale to the public. All animals shall be tied, kept on a leash, fenced, or kept in an animal run at all times. All animals must be controlled so as not to be a nuisance for the other lot owners.
Well, that certainly sounds reasonable. You know, there's some concern. Obviously, my neighbors aren't concerned enough to come over here, but there's been expressed concern expressed, particularly with the odor from the trailer park right now, that we're hoping we don't have, like, herd of horses in the backyard, adding to that, and also, you know, the runoff into both the Skunk and the Ada Hayden is a big concern. So that's all I have. I thank you for listening.
Are there any further questions? Do I hear a motion?
I would like to move that the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission recommend approval of the official zoning map amendment as put forth in case REZ0312 to the Polk County Board of Supervisors with the conditions shown on slide 14. And direct the staff to schedule first consideration on October 30th of 2012.
Can I get
a second? Go ahead.
Before we go to a vote on that, I have a question for Charlie. In the staff review, a recommendation was made that the natural resources be protected as part of the covenant. What you're doing does not do that. That is a condition on the rezoning, right? Mm-hmm. So that Story County is not becoming a party to the covenant.
Exactly, yeah.
Very good. That's the way I understood it.
Any other discussion? All those in favor, do I need to restate the motion because that was kind of long?
Have it.
All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion's carried. Okay. Thank you. Now we are moving on to number SUB07-12, The Oaks. And staff will present this, make this presentation.
And a few of the slides that I had on the previous with all the maps and stuff like that, I'm not going to repaste those on here, so I'm just going to go through the subdivision aspects of this. Pretty much the introductory items are the exact same, obviously. The only thing I would say now is that we do have a proposed zoning district of AR Agricultural Residential, and if that moves forward to the Board of Supervisors, which are three hearings, that's what that will be. The nature of this particular request is that the applicant is to consider a major subdivision plat of currently three tax parcels being divided into five development lots, three street lots in the AR Agricultural Residential Zoning District, which is proposed. The subdivision is now being reviewed as a preliminary subdivision plat. The Planning and Zoning Commission provides a recommendation only on the preliminary plat to the Board of Supervisors. The applicable regulations were listed in the staff report. Going through just the comments that we had on the subdivision plat, first of all, the one regarding the letter from Xenia Rural Water, we did get that from the applicant, so that one has been satisfied prior to this hearing. However, the location of the existing water line, we'd like that to be shown on the final plat, and I believe that runs just north of this proposed property along 190th Street. the existing adjacent subdivision streets, track lines, and acreage parcels, together with the names and record owners of parcels of land immediately adjoining the proposed subdivision, and between it and the nearest existing streets, roads, etc., were not shown on the preliminary plat. We just made mention that it might not be necessary to review those during the preliminary plat, but those should be shown in the final plat. The established boundaries of the 1% chance special flood hazard area was not shown on the plat either. This may be necessary for the commission and the board to review on the preliminary plat. You know, that's going to be up to the commission to decide if you want to see those floodplain boundaries on that map or if what we've shown you on the screen here is above. But probably having that information ready for the Board of Supervisors might be crucial. There was a small section of right-of-way that was omitted on the plat. Definitely needs to be shown on the final plat. It was located in the northeast corner of the property and is just a tad over 1,000 square feet in size. Currently, this preliminary plat shows that it is dedicating just the existing right-of-way on the property, which varies in size. I was told it varies in size because when the road was redone, I don't know when it was redone, they had to work around one of the fairways on the golf course there, so they couldn't get the exact amount of right-of-way that they wanted. Our regulations require that a minimum of 60 feet of right-of-way from the center line of the existing roads shall be deeded to the county for potential future improvements. And in talking to the engineer, he did want that 60 feet in this area. So with that, we'd like to show that the minimum of 60 feet from the center line of West 190th Street be dedicated, and that's shown on the final plat. Easements of not less than 15 feet in width shall be provided on each lot, particularly on the side and or rear lot lines where necessary for poles, wires, conduits, and storm utilities. Currently, there are just 10-foot easements on the front lot line shown on the preliminary plat. Providing easements on the front lot line in this subdivision should not be an issue because it does reach all the lots and the necessary arrangement for this subdivision. The front lot line should be okay. However, the final plat will need to reflect a 15-foot easement instead of the 10-foot easement. Whenever any stream or major surface water course is located in an area being subdivided, the subdivider shall provide and dedicate it to the county an easement along each side of the stream, which the easement shall be for the purpose of widening and improving or protecting the streams if necessary. The width of such easement shall be adequate to provide for any necessary channel relocation and straightening, but in no case shall such easement be less than 30 feet on both sides of the center of the water course. You'll see in the interagency comments, but Surrey County Conservation Director Mike Cox did want that 30-foot on both side easement all along that stream that the floodplain is located around. Lastly, we did note that before action on the major subdivision final plat that the applicant shall enter into a development agreement providing for the installation of all improvements in the subdivision required by the Surrey County Land Development Regulations, and shall further provide a reasonable time frame for completion of all improvements as required by the subdivision. That's mainly going to be on the proposed street that's entering in off West 190th Street. Before we get through the final plat, we can work that out with the applicant if this is subsequently approved. So with that, those were just the comments that we had on the subdivision plat. The alternatives are listed on the screen above, and if there's any questions on the subdivision, I'd be happy to answer them.
Anyone have any questions for staff?
The existing clubhouse, I believe, is on Lot C.
No, it'll be on Lot 3. Lot C is a small right-of-way lot, or small piece of right-of-way. The numbered lots are the residential lots. The lettered lots are the right-of-way lots.
That's why I was a little confused, because in looking at the aerial and the property, I really couldn't tell where the clubhouse exactly was.
I'm trying to see if I can get a closer view of it on any of that I have. I don't think I do. Yeah, it's
at the clubhouse and its parking is all in that lot 3.
The clubhouse, you can, are you looking at a copy of the plat on there? So you got the same one. You can kind of see there's a gray rectangle towards what would be the northeast corner of the property. That is where the clubhouse is located.
Is there there are some small buildings right where the new road comes in, and those buildings will be demolished. Immediately to the east of those small buildings is another building. And that building is... That's a... No, a large building.
The Moose Lodge.
Oh, that's the Moose Lodge?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can kind of see on this right here, there's that kind of almost U-shape right here. That's where the Moose Lodge sits. That's actually not a part of this plat. It's a separate parcel right now. So, yeah, I can kind of see where you're seeing where Lot C is located on there. It's actually pointing to an area, but that little jut out right there is not a part of this plat.
Okay. I'm reading it now. And that what is the plan for the parking area? So it'll stay. Okay. And is there any problems from a zoning perspective in the AR district now that we are proposing a rezoning of this to AR for a parking lot for an adjacent use? Or are you going to have to issue some sort of a waiver or variance?
I can't think of anything on that, and I'm looking over to Leanne and see that she's looking at it right now. I can't foresee anything, any problems with the zoning district on that.
I just like everything to be resolved
yeah.
at one time rather than
I know
having somebody
I guess I've
complain
never...
about it in the future and then have to act on it again.
So typically we tie parking with the use. The use of that building, I'm sure that's another use that's grandfathered in. And the parking lot, I'm not sure. Nonconforming.
So it'll be a legally nonconforming
yeah.
established use. I see that there's an easement for it in the documents, and so that's fine. Okay.
And I know, I believe the Moose Lodge owns that old trailer park that was across the road there, too. So, you know, if there's anything, I guess, in the future that comes up, they do have adequate area. I think if they would need to move a parking lot, but I don't really foresee anything coming up either, so.
That was my only question.
A good one.
But there'll be a moment for you, yeah. Would you like to present your case?
Again, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Just to speak to the question about the parking and stuff there, we are, and the people that are interested in purchasing the other lots there would like or were interested to see that got changed to a residential zoning so that they knew that there would be not a commercial use able to come back in there. So that's, I guess, kind of why we went there. Plus, it's all in the floodplain. We're not interested in having a commercial enterprise there, and that, by changing it, reducing the zoning, the Moose Lodge doesn't really have enough area there, and again, it's really close to the creek that runs through there. So we thought that the zoning, changing it to residential, would kind of ease everybody's mind that it was going to be a softer use. And the parking will be there. I think the conversations that we've had with them, they rarely get on to a lot of the parking that's on our lot. And I think over time, it'll be my intent anyways, is to honor my, you know, agreement. But if we can remove some asphalt and get that back to more green areas, that'll be my preference as soon as that's practical.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that wish to address the commission?
Or your laser pointer? Right now, the cable and the telephone run along right there, so you won't have any trouble picking that up. The gas, however, runs in the front, as does the water. So are you going to have a easement along the incoming, the new road for water and gas? Because I noticed you didn't have gas mentioned in the utilities. Alliant provides the gas there, and Midland does the electricity, although I suppose Alliant would like to do electricity also. So there is a gas line that runs and a distribution station right there, and the gas line runs along there to where it goes down there. So you certainly have the utility available. I've wondered if you had a wide enough easement for both gas and water, electricity, and so on along your inlet road or not. That's all I've heard. I've heard scuttlebutt that the Moose would like to build a new building across the street, so that may take care of that issue someplace down the road anyway. Thank you very much.
Go ahead. I'll let you answer it. You know better than I.
Yeah, craziness of our electric districts is that they won't tell me who's going to provide service until we show them where the houses are going to be, because the boundaries are that definitive. And so you may be in Midlands and you may be in Alliance, depending upon the placement of the lot. It's so crazy, even by the way our street doesn't go straight, so they're arguing amongst themselves over who's going to put in the street lights and how are we going to do that, because their lines are they are hard and fast. So we'll work through that. The PUEs, the public utility easements that we have, are greater than what out in the county than what they generally are in the municipalities that they're working within. So we'll change those when we get to the final plat. They'd ask for 15 feet. Gas, at this point, we're not even sure if we're going to have gas. I think a lot of them will use geothermal systems out there. And so gas may not be provided, although it's right down West 190th Street. Same with Xenia, is on the south side of West 190th, and they'll come right down the road. And then the electric will pick up, depending on who provides it. And then the phone and cable, like you said, are along that property line, and there will be easements that they'll get them over into the center of the lot.
Further questions? Seeing none, I entertain a motion.
Sorry. I'd like to move alternative number 2 with the conditions of approval consisting of the 8 items listed under analysis on page 3 of the staff report, except that number 1 would just be the location of the existing water line shall be shown on the final plat.
Do I have a second?
A second.
Any further discussion?
I have a question for Charlie again.
Yes.
Do you normally show water lines on the final plat, or do you show them on a preliminary? I thought the final just described the property rather than showing improvements.
You're talking where the water course is and the floodplain and everything?
Well, no, the water, Xenia Rural water line.
Oh, I guess I'm not even 100% sure on that, but I thought typically the final plat always showed utilities as well that were currently in place.
Okay.
Yeah, and this can be another discussion that takes place too. You know, more or less, we were looking at the stuff that normally we see, and of course, when we look at subdivision plats, a lot of times we don't have a preliminary final plat stage, so stuff that we typically would see on the plat. And I was just trying to say, well, we should show it on final plat. But, you know, if we can at least get them shown on the preliminary plat that goes to the Board of Supervisors and then not shown on the final plat, that's fine, too.
Okay. Well, my recommendation should be taken, or the motion should be taken as loosely as appropriate for showing it on the appropriate plat.
I'm okay with that, I guess, since I second the motion.
Roll call. Weigel? Marcel?
Yes.
Gast?
Yes.
Kowser?
Yes.
Motion is carried.
Thank you.
Okay. We are moving on to ORD 04-12. With Leanne, I'm dead. She's up.
I'm kind of an odd duck in many ways. I'd rather stand to present than sit. So I'm going to take advantage of having the podium. What's before you are regulation changes to Story County Land Development Regulations. We're following Section 15.30 of the Land Development Regulations. You did get a copy of the staff report, and attached to the staff report were the proposed changes. Quite simply, we are recommending kind of a concept-wide change of the regulations to incorporate language addressing small wind and then another alternative form of energy for solar energy. We did send this on to interagency review team. Primarily, the comments were in support of the changes. The Conservation Board Director was very pleased that we were bringing these forward. Our Emergency Management Coordinator did put forth a question whether or not the model ordinance that we followed for the small wind did achieve goals in case a tower were to fall. And I did assure him, I think, that the setbacks that are defined in that model ordinance are accomplished to achieve such. The model ordinance that I'm referring to is what has been developed by the Iowa Utilities Board and the Iowa League of Cities to really encourage small wind in the state of Iowa. And so we looked at our current regulations next to the model regulations, and that's what you see the incorporated changes for the, especially the small wind. You have three alternatives. One, you may recommend approval of the proposed text amendment and ask that we send it forth to the Board of Supervisors for Tuesday, November 6th. Second, you may recommend denial and again ask that we place on the November 6th agenda. Or lastly, you may table it till your December 2012 meeting. Again, keeping in mind that we likely won't be having a November meeting. I can go into depth into the changes, but again, you did see them in advance, so I think it might be best to just answer any questions you may have.
On the first, second, page three, page four, about fifth page, where it's dealing with sections 450C, 460C, 480C, 490C, and 4100C, where it's talking about the non-commercial WEC subject to the following standard, and you get under setbacks. The last sentence says, the tower shall be allowed closer to a property line if the following conditions are met. And the first condition is it is necessary to increase the height of the tower so the bottom of the turbine rotor will clear a wind obstacle with a 500-foot radius by 300 feet. So you can move a tower closer to a property line if the tower is increased in height.
If you need to increase the height of that tower because there's an existing wind obstacle, or an existing obstacle, let's say a 100-year-old oak tree, and the placement of that wind turbine on the property is such that it needs to be placed closer to the property line, and needs to be higher, too, to capture that wind, the whole design of wind to really accomplish the goal by placing a wind turbine there, you may need to make it higher. And so by making it higher, your setbacks will increase.
So it can't be moved closer to the property line if it's kept at the same height.
Right.
It can only be moved closer to the property line if it's made higher also.
Because what it's doing is recognizing you're having to make it higher and increase the setback then to achieve the goal of having that
wind turbine. Reducing the setback.
Yeah. What did I say? Increase it. Well, no, but if we didn't have that condition in place, if you made it higher, you'd be increasing the setback.
Okay. And then the third one, I think I know what it's trying to say, but I'm not sure the English is saying is terribly clear. I think what it's trying to say is that you have to stay a distance, which is the height of the tower, from adjacent property structure.
Right.
Maybe the of on the second line, where it says the tower of existing, should be from. And it may make it a little bit clearer.
We just simply cut and paste from the model ordinance that most jurisdictions are adopting, so yeah.
Which means that everybody stays confused?
Yeah.
Just take a look at it and see whether or not the language is going to be clear for the public.
If the commission finds it necessary to make that one, the page prior to that, too, there's a condition number 3. You could change that to from rather than of as well. So in both places where it references that condition number 3 in your setback. Questions?
On the second to the last page, where it's talking about 430D, 440C, and so forth, under F, talking about height, in the middle of it, it says, in no instance shall any part of the solar energy system extend beyond the edge of a roof. If the solar energy system is mounted on the wall rather than on the roof of the building, then does this envision that all solar energy systems are mounted on roofs?
No, I think that's just talking specifically, and it's trying to specifically just address the ones that are roof-mounted. I don't read it to see that it prohibits the wall-mounted.
And if it was mounted on the wall, then could it extend beyond the edge of the roof?
Yeah, because I think it'd be, and this is where I'm not an engineer and will maybe come back to haunt me, but structurally, you have more stability. I would assume you would have more stability with that wall mounted if it were to extend beyond the edge of the roof than if you're coming down in an angle and extending that unit off the edge of the roof.
If you have a house that has a large southern exposure, but the ridge of your house roof runs north-south, putting wind energy collection, or not wind, solar collection on the roof may be less efficient. And rather than tearing off the roof, use the south side of your house and you mount the solar collectors vertically up and down the south side.
Yeah, I don't see this as prohibiting that. I think it's getting at what overhangs from the roof itself.
Okay.
So they're mounted to the roof.
I have one little question. Wind energy, and maybe I missed it. Utilizing the house, the garage, and outside building as part of your support structure for the pole. That's the new technology that's coming in and reduces cost immensely.
We wrestled with that a little bit. I think for now we just want to look at towers, the self-supporting towers.
Aren't classifying that as a tower. Even though I'm cutting my own throat now, because the two that I put up do have 2-inch poles, but they're attached to the building.
I think because they are attached to the building, for now we'd consider them an addition to that building. We're not comfortable enough with kind of paving the road on that one, on how to address that. And simply, the technology is changing so rapidly. And we wanted to at least catch up and get the small, the self-mounted, or self-supporting towers. Yeah, get those addressed. But I'm hearing what you're saying, and that's something we will keep on our radar, too, on how we address those. Same with the solar. The technology is just akin to computers, and you know how that has just technology has jumped ahead.
At least if you get the regulations in place, you've got a framework to work with or from if you need to make changes later.
Yeah, we've had a few self-mounted solar collection systems come in for personal use, and we've been wrestling because we don't have anything. And so we've been just applying accessory structure, and it doesn't seem to fit nicely. It just, we feel kind of awkward when we're issuing that permit.
I would like to move the approval of the proposed text amendment under alternative number one, with the change of the word of to from in two places, both of them under item number three on the in the definitions, in the appropriate sections as discussed during the meeting.
A second.
Questions? Seeing none, roll call.
Murphy?
Yes.
Gass?
Yes.
Hauser?
Yes.
Weigel?
Up to other business, long-range planning update.
I really don't have anything.
Go on to follow-up items recommended to the Board of Supervisors and the Board of Adjustments.
Board of Supervisors will be considering the changes for mass storage of agricultural materials at a Tuesday meeting next week, a week from tomorrow, for first consideration, and the change to the A1 district and A2 district for the mass storage of agricultural materials. I think that's it. And obviously, what you took action on tonight will be going forward. Everything else that the board is considering, the board of supervisors has not come here. They're now in their second residential parcel subdivision that was approved.
Probably no public comments. Any commission comments? Anyone at all? Anything else from staff? Our future meeting will be, hopefully we don't get anything in tomorrow's mail because we've been told we are not allowed to meet here for your November meeting. So as of now, we don't have anything on your agenda, and hopefully we can keep it that way and just not have a November meeting. So if that is true, in December you'll have your election of officers and the calendar for 2013, and that's it. It could be that if we don't need anything, we do have to have you meet for just those two items so we can conduct business. But that'll be December.
If we do have to meet in November, can we do it on the 12th instead of the 5th?
I don't know. I don't know if we can meet here any of those first 2 weeks. I haven't followed up on that. We were waiting to see if we had anything.
Because they'll be doing canvassing and everything else. Okay.
I have a feeling this room will be locked down for until at least the 13th, and that the canvas will be the 13th, won't it? Is that the date of Tuesday?
Second.
Glad to make a speech.